Good morning. I'm Robert Woolsey, Raven Radio News Director, and I'm very pleased to welcome to the morning interview this morning Lindsay Worthington. She's the principal investigator of the Queen Charlotte Seismic Project, and she is a professor at the University of New Mexico in Albuquerque. And Maureen Walton is with the U.S. Geological Survey in Santa Cruz. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Lindsay and Maureen, you were actually going to be in Sitka this week, but don't have to explain yourselves. The coronavirus outbreak has kind of interrupted travel plans, but you were going to come and sort of brief us on the nature of this Queen Charlotte seismic project, which is literally going to be happening on our doorstep out in the ocean this summer.
So we're going to come and just do a little explanation of what the Queen Charlotte Fault is, why we're interested in it, and sort of the plan for our proposed project that could be happening this summer.
And why do we care about the Queen Charlotte Fault? I mean, I think a lot of people in Sitka have heard of it, but it doesn't make headlines like the San Andreas Fault does in California.
Well, that's an interesting comparison that you bring up to San Andreas. So I kind of like to think of the Queen Charlotte Fault as the San Andreas of the North. It's the same type of fault. So the Pacific Ocean Plate is moving north with respect to the North American tectonic plate, the North American landmass, same as the San Andreas Fault. It's just as seismically active, if not more so, than the San Andreas Fault. There have actually been more large earthquakes. These are earthquakes that are above magnitude 7, similar to the one that happened in 2013 just offshore Craig, Alaska. So there's more big earthquakes along the Queen Charlotte Fault than there have been along the San Andreas Fault in the last 100 years. And so the Queen Charlotte Fault offers us a really nice opportunity to do really comprehensive imaging of the fault structure and try to figure out, you know, why are there big earthquakes along there? Why do they happen where they happen? And just get also a sense of the background seismicity. There's little earthquakes happening all the time, but it's not very well instrumented, so we don't know exactly how many and where they are concentrated.
I want to say the last big earthquake that got everybody's attention in Sitka was in January of 2013. I could be wrong about that. I didn't check. But when you talk about frequency of earthquakes, you're talking about a span of decades and centuries. This is certainly not something that goes off every 2-3 years. This is over a span of many, many years.
That's exactly right. So like Lindsay mentioned, the Queen Charlotte Fault tends to rupture in large earthquakes over magnitude 7 fairly often. And when we say fairly often, we're talking about the span of a couple decades, and the Queen Charlotte Fault is a very big, long fault system, hundreds of kilometers long. And so, these earthquakes happen in, even though the fault system does rupture every couple of decades in one of these big events, they're in different areas along the fault system, and so you won't always feel it in Sitka if there's a big earthquake along the fault. But yes, the last one, I believe that was felt by a number of people in Sitka, was in early January 2013, and there was another earthquake a few months before that, much farther south along the fault system, offshore of Haida Gwaii, British Columbia, and that was a magnitude 7.8 earthquake. And so the one in Sitka in January is a magnitude 7.5, and those just happened a few months apart from each other, and kind of spurred sort of increased interest from the scientific community in studying this fault system a little bit better.
And Maureen, you had been studying the Queen Charlotte Fault System your entire academic career, correct?
That's right, on and off. So my dissertation that I finished in 2016 at the University of Texas was almost entirely focused on the Queen Charlotte Fault using mostly legacy data. So when I say legacy, I mean kind of older data sets that we work to reprocess and kind of integrate with some limited existing newer data as well.
So you have used this same sort of technique to take a look at the fault before, or is this really this summer's work, your first opportunity to get a really good look?
That's a really good question. The work that we've been doing at the USGS is really similar in terms of the tools that we're using. However, what we're doing this summer, we're going to be imaging the faults at a different scale, so much deeper into the crust. So we're going to get a more complete picture of what the fault is doing, particularly at seismogenic depths, so depths where the fault is actually slipping and causing earthquakes. So we'll actually get a picture of what's going on at those depths, which we currently don't have very good imaging of. So that's really exciting for us.
Lindsay, I guess working under the ocean is not as difficult as it sounds. There's actually kind of an upside to doing this work out on the water.
Yeah, so one really nice opportunity that the Queen Charlotte Fault presents us is that we can look at a fault that's like the San Andreas, but unlike the San Andreas, there's not a giant city built right on top of it, right? So it's out in the water, so we can take our marine seismic acquisition tools on shipboard instruments, and we can basically just drive sort of wherever we want. And so the proposed work for this summer is basically starting from offshore Haida Gwaii and going almost all the way up towards Baranof Island and just crisscrossing the fault along that 400-kilometer section to just look at how the geometry might change, what the structure of the oceanic and the continental crust is. And we're also going to be able to look at material properties, like what's the thermal structure? How hot is it? How cold is it? How thick is it? What's the damage zone like across the fault? And, you can't do that on a structure that's onshore because you're just faced with buildings or mountains or cities.
Is there an easy way to sort of describe what the technique is? I don't have a clue what kind of instruments you'd be using.
Yeah, so we actually have a two-pronged approach for this project. So the first one that we'll be doing is we're going to be aboard we're proposing to be aboard a ship that's run by the National Science Foundation. It's called the Marcus G. Langseth. And what we do for that is we tow an energy source that we set off every 50 meters. And then behind that, we tow a bunch of sensors. And we're going to be towing that streamer full of sensors is 15 kilometers long. So we're towing something that's, about 8 to 10 miles long behind the boat. And then that energy source goes off, and that energy travels through the water column, goes below, penetrates the seafloor, and bounces off different layers of sediment and rock beneath the seafloor. And then it comes back up, and our sensors, listen to it, and we basically end up with an X-ray along a profile that we're driving along.
And are you looking at this data in real time, or is this something that has to be taken back to a lab and crunched?
Yeah, we can actually look at it in real time and get a quick sense of what things are doing, and then there's kind of various stages of processing. So there's some processing that we'll do aboard the ship, just on our laptop computers, and then there's kind of more complicated processing that we can do once we're back home in our labs.
And is forecasting earthquakes a possibility, a possible outcome of this work, ultimately?
I think that's tricky. If you ever ask a seismologist to predict or forecast an earthquake, you'll get a lot of equivocation. So one thing that we're going to be able to do is be able to look at past rupture areas and try to understand what those geometries are like, and then hopefully be able to say something about those processes. And then, yes, that will help us look at different parts of the fault and, make some statements and make some predictions or some forecasts about what might happen in the future. Is this certain type of earthquake going to be repeatable? Should we look for another type of earthquake in a different spot at a different time? So, we'll be able to kind of assess in that way.
We're not really at a point in our community where we can predict earthquakes, but we are getting closer. I like the word forecast because I think people sort of understand more intuitively what that is. We're getting closer to a point where we can better forecast probabilities for earthquakes happening. And so hopefully our study will help add to that field. I don't know if based on just solely on our study we'll be able to kind of get more explicitly toward those goals, but definitely this will further us down that path.
So you guys are going to be sort of based out of Ketchikan this summer, but there's a possibility someone's going to come to Sitka for a couple of months next year, or will having studied this fault make you want to never set foot in Sitka? I don't know. what's the game plan?
Yeah, we're planning to have someone from the project be in residence at the Sitka Science Center during the next year. We'll obviously be in touch and try to get out information on that. We have a website for the project if people want to check that out.
Oh yeah, let's have the address.
Okay, so it's going to be qcfgeohazards.net. There should be some maps of the experiment and some more information on the technologies.
And we'll provide a link to it on our website as well. So good luck with your work out there.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
You're welcome. Maureen Walton is with the U.S. Geological Survey in Santa Cruz, and Lindsay Worthington is a professor at the University of New Mexico in Albuquerque. She's the principal investigator in the Queen Charlotte Seismic Fault Study. Thank you guys for joining me this morning.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks again.